Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family. Today's program is pre-recorded, so the listener lines will not be open. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Good morning. Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, November 19th. It's a good day. All week long, we're talking about how to prepare for the holidays, what you can do, some ideas, especially from our experts, and we've got some...
Sorry, when you say experts, I have to laugh a little bit.
Joining me, co-hosting in the studio today, when I say expert, I really mean it. Joining me in the studio today, Ron Clem, manager of Classic 99. I'm not worthy.
You are crazy. Thank you so... Andy, you are such a blessing to this place. I'm so glad you're here. And we haven't had a chance to... I haven't had a chance to officially welcome you, but you're doing a terrific job. And thanks for being here.
It is good to be here.
Yeah.
And we'll welcome our guest here in just a little bit. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. Find the CUW logo in that sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page, and you can find out all about the great programs they have to offer and the locations. They're not just in Wisconsin. They're all over, including a location right here in St. Louis, not too far from Worldwide KFUO. So check it out, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. Click on CUW.
What we want to talk about is music.
Music.
Because music is such an important part of our holiday celebrations. And we're going to talk a little bit about Advent and about how music fits into a celebration of that. And of course, we can't talk about Christmas without talking about the great music that's been written for the Christmas season. Classic99.com, by the way, beginning the day after Thanksgiving, will begin to incorporate some of the classic music of Advent and Christmas into the classical music mix. So you can hear some of the great music of the season as part of, along with Mozart and Beethoven and all the rest.
Good stuff.
At classic99.com.
Well, joining us by phone today is Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary, Kevin Hildebrandt. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Andy. Nice to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. I guess it's afternoon for you there, so good afternoon.
Yeah, just afternoon.
Well, tell us, Kevin, some congregations may have a cantor, may or may not. Can you tell us what is a cantor and what are your duties at Concordia Theological Seminary?
Yeah, that's a question I like to talk about. That's basically, the cantor is the leader of the church's song, and some parishes, you know, use that title. Other parishes use other titles, but basically the person that's entrusted with leading and teaching the church's song in the parish, or in my circumstance here at the seminary, is what that person's vocation is about. Usually includes some kind of theological background and training to inform the choices and the leadership that the cantor makes. The seminary here has historically used that term. The term goes back all the way to the time of the Reformation.
That's right.
And we're happy to be part of that and to share the gift of music with our students and the wider church community through good programs such as yours.
Well, thanks. It's Faith and Family. We've talked about family devotions and gathering together around the Word at home, and we've talked a little bit about music with the family. But I'm so excited today to talk about the things that you have lined up for us in the conversation. And it's so fitting for your work there at what you do at Concordia, leading the church's song. Leading the church's song at home is what we're going to be talking about today. And you have lined up some great selections for us when it comes to the church year and music. The music really does a fine job of helping the family focus on the
text.
It's
a great vehicle, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a vehicle.
Now, Kevin, when it comes to the church year, we always it's very easy to think of music, great selections for Christmas, but Advent is, you know, coming up very soon. And What do we need to think about when we're thinking of the Advent season and music?
Well, I think maintaining Advent as a distinct and special time of the church year is an important thing. I think that particularly with families. You know, I can speak about what we do in my own family. Is part of our Bible story and devotion time is we incorporate the Advent wreath, and you know, children particularly find a lot of enjoyment in seeing, you know, every week, you know, there's, you know, the an extra candle that is lit, and that can also incorporate, you know, singing as part of your Bible story time. And I think a wonderful thing that families can bring into their Bible story and devotion time is to find ways to bring more of the song of the church into making that part of the song of their home too. And there's some examples we can talk about for families to put that into practice at their homes.
Sure. And let's we've divided up the hour. So Cantor Hildebrand gets the first half of the segment in his selections, and then we've given Ron the second half of the program for his selections.
Well, he can come in any part of my, but he can take as much time as he wants.
So Kevin, what selection do we want to hear from first?
Well, I think a very accessible and enjoyable and usable hymn, especially for Advent, is "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel."
Mm-hmm.
I think when thinking about music for children, particularly very young children who are not reading yet, things that have a refrain that keeps, you know, repeating after each verse is very useful. And of course, in "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," we always end with that "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." And even, you know, very, very young children can make that part of what they do. Young children are always looking for ways of how can they be, you know, doing what the big people are doing. And singing is one way that they can be part of with everybody else and not necessarily, you know, be set aside or relegated to doing something less important, but they can be doing, you know, what the grown-ups are doing, what the older siblings are doing, and that very memorable and easy refrain of that hymn is a great way for them to be part of the church's song.
And then each of the verses has these words that call on certain symbols and words that describe what Christ is to his people, and that's so cool to teach to the young people.
Of course, right. There's all sorts of imagery, especially from the Old Testament, drawing out Old Testament sort of titles of Jesus. You know, this is a hymn that we grow up with and we continue to learn more about, you know, our whole lives. As children are growing up with that, families can bring that hymn to them and starting out with joining in on that refrain. And as children get older and are able to read more, perhaps, or commit to memory more, mm-hmm. that the whole family can make this part of their lives.
And I'd be remiss not to point out that the selection we're listening to, that we'll listen to here in just a second, is from My First Hymnal, which is a great way to help families with young kids to read and to pick up a hymnal and start learning these hymns. So let's take a listen.
Until the Son of God appear, rejoice!
The nice piece, I think, about that selection is, while it's an Advent piece, it points to the rest of the church year. Thy victory over the grave, I mean, that's it connects us to the rest of the church year.
Exactly.
So, great choice, Kevin.
Sure. And I think I'd like to add, with this publication in particular, this My First Hymnal, it has these accompanying CDs. Or I think the recordings are also available as MP3 downloads.
They're available on iTunes as well. Yes.
Right, and you know, sometimes if singing isn't part of a family's regular routine, it can be a little unclear. Well, how do we start? Or if mom or dad might not be comfortable doing that on their own, well, having a recording to help get them started, or to sing along with, or just to provide an environment of music in their home, in their car, or wherever they may be, to help surround themselves and their children with this good song of the church is very helpful.
You can't get much easier than downloading it on iTunes or popping in a CD. I mean, that's pretty easy. Yeah, and My First Hymnal is great. It has taken just a couple of stanzas out of some of these great hymns, instead of putting all of the stanzas in there, just to give children a chance to learn the melody, to learn some of the key text in the songs or in the hymns.
So, yeah,
great. What's up next? What do we want to listen to next?
Why don't we look a little at maybe Away in a Manger. That's a hymn that many, many children grow up with.
Right.
And it's also a hymn that they don't grow out of. I think that's maybe a key consideration for families in what are we going to sing? What are we going to make part of our Advent and Christmas singing time? You know, there's lots of choices out there, but although there are aspects of Away in a Manger which are very, very attractive to especially little children. I mean, it has the part of the Christmas story. It talks about Jesus as a baby, which I think is important for especially young children to recognize and rejoice that, you know, Jesus was a baby like I was a baby, or I'm a little kid and Jesus was a little kid also. I mean, they're really singing and confessing, you know, the incarnation here in ways that is accessible and enjoyable. But also it's a hymn that, you know, even moms and dads can sing and enjoy. And I think the last stanza of that in particular, which is this wonderful prayer about "Be near me, Lord Jesus," it also talks about, you know, the reality of, you know, when our time on earth is over, that we go to heaven to be with Jesus. And in fact, my own children and my wife and I will use that sometimes as one of our bedtime prayers, just to sing that last stanza of "Be near me, Lord Jesus,"
mm-hmm.
Even throughout the church year. So to maybe take a very familiar kind of classic children's hymn and continue to incorporate that in your family is something very, very wonderful in this time of year.
It is. And I like how you point out that it's a great bedtime prayer. So
yeah.
I'm sure it's familiar. Everybody can sing along. And don't worry, we're not playing all Christmas music for the rest of the day. Ron Klem was singing along with it here in the studio.
Well, bless all the dear children in thy loving care. It's a perfect bedtime prayer. 365 days of the week, Kevin is absolutely correct. It's not really a Christmas prayer so much as it is a prayer for all seasons.
Right.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Well, I was hearing the bells in there, and that reminded me of a great idea I just heard at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. At least I think it's a great idea. Some parents may not. A parent and child bell choir.
There you go.
Instead of just a kid's bell choir or just an adult bell choir, a parent and children's bell choir. So the parents are learning right alongside the kids, and probably the kids are learning faster than the parents.
Yes,
right. Well, that's an excellent point, just the role of music in the church, that it is an intergenerational thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's many instances where when children are sort of relegated, you know, their own, although this is something just for the children, and there's a time and place for certain things there.
Sure.
But especially in music in the church, this is something that is, it even transcends age groups. With instrumental performances and singing, for instance, at our church coming up next week, I have the children and adults playing in an instrumental group. I tell the children that they need to come to help out the grown-ups.
and it's true.
Right. It's something that we say, you know, children are the future of the church, which is true to some extent, but it's even more accurate to say, you know, children are the church now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And the congregation is the first choir. And to have children and young people joining parents and grandparents and people of all ages, that is the picture of heaven. And in all generations shall call me blessed. Well, it's the song of Mary, right? We're going to talk about that in the next half hour.
Excellent.
What selection would we like to pull up next?
Why don't we listen to Angels We Have Heard on High?
Okay.
This is another example where it has a refrain, if that refrain of Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And I bet, you know, most people sing that, they don't even realize they're singing in Latin. It's
don't,
fun, but
don't
but
tell them, Kevin.
Yeah, don't tell them. It sounds more difficult.
Right,
than it is
exactly.
That way.
And
but,
I remember learning this as a child in public school, learning to sing this and learning Latin, and it had to be probably first grade.
I do too. Except that I thought we were singing something about
eggshells.
Yeah. Well, I think this is great, both because of the refrain that, again, even the little kids can you know, remember this very easily. The verses itself tell the story. You know, you've got, you know, the angels, you've got the shepherds, you know, following up sort of with, you know, the shepherds talk about, you know, let us go to Bethlehem. The hymn ends that way, come to Bethlehem and see. And it also, again, ties the singers to Sunday morning, for instance.
Right.
You know, if we're singing the glory to God in the highest on Sunday mornings, you know, that's another connection that we have. What we're singing and doing and learning and accenting at our home is informed by what's happening on Sunday morning. And even if it's not something that's happening at Sunday morning at you know, your church or my church, it's something that families can provide for their children.
Absolutely. Well, let's listen. Angels We Have Heard on High.
And sing along.
I'm going to turn down my mic.
Oh,
As the folks are walking by the studio here and the monitors out in the lobby, I think they're thinking we've joined the ranks of the other radio stations and started playing our Christmas music early, but not the case. Kevin, I think we have time to squeeze in one more. What other piece would you like to...
Why don't we listen to maybe one that's less familiar, but very easily learned, Let Our Gladness Have No End.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. I'll get it queued up.
Well, this is... again, it has a repeated refrain. It might be on maybe that tier of Christmas hymns that sometimes we churches don't get to, but it's worth investigating. It's just very, very a short phrase, and then an Alleluia, and another short phrase, and an Alleluia, and then this wonderful sort of repetitive refrain that makes it very, very easily learned with for children as well as adults.
Alleluias are great.
Exactly.
Now, Advent is a penitential season. Oh, well, this is a Christmas one, so I guess that doesn't count.
Splitting hairs.
I'm just kidding. No, it's great. Anything else before we go to this song? I think what we'll do is segue out with this song.
Yeah, well, one item I was going to mention that something we do at our house, and I know other families do as well, is while setting up or using a nativity set, especially with children, whether, you know, parents or grandparents are doing this with their grandchildren, is, you know, sort of telling the story, you know, with the figures and setting up the nativity, and then you can sing along while you're setting up.
Perfect.
We put the angel, our angel on our nativity is holding this Gloria banner, and so there's the refrain from Angels We Have Heard on High.
Sure.
And those... the sort of tangible things that the children like to, you know, play with a nativity set and have one that's not breakable so children can mess around with it and play with it.
Right. Perfect context, though. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, here is Let Our Gladness Have No End from the Children's Choirs of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute. For years, pro-abortion activists have said there's no link between abortion and breast cancer, even though worldwide studies have shown a link for over 50 years. Now, a meta-analysis from China provides very convincing evidence it's true, and it's been published in a prestigious, peer-reviewed international cancer journal called Cancer Causes and Control. The meta-analysis combined 36 individual studies in China to give them a bigger picture regarding a link between abortion and breast cancer. It found one abortion increases a woman's chance of breast cancer by 44%, two abortions increased it to 76%, and three abortions, not unusual in society, caused a nearly 90% increase. The abortion industry will someday have to answer to millions of women.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
What prophecies are being fulfilled in the birth of John the Baptist? And what prophecies were made about his life when he was born? Live Monday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the birth of John the Baptist from Luke chapter 1.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Looking for a career with a Fortune 500 organization where you can bring your values to work? Look no further than Thrivent Financial, a faith-based membership financial services organization, helping members be wise with money and inspiring them to live generously. As a not-for-profit organization, we give back millions of dollars to the causes our members care about. At Thrivent, you'll find a meaningful career, making a difference for others and your community. To learn more about our financial representative opportunities, visit thrivent.com.
In death, Nelson Mandela has unified South Africans in prayers of remembrance. Mandela was honored Sunday in churches that resisted white domination, as well as those that once supported apartheid. The congregation at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town prayed that South Africans can realize their former president's long walk to freedom. Cathedral parishioner Pierre Kotze says,
in the 1980s, it was one of the places where people could come of all races and backgrounds in Cape Town. Not even all of them were necessarily Christian, by the way, and I think it's just St. George's is the right place to do this in Cape Town.
At Johannesburg's Regina Mundi Church, the Reverend Sebastian Rousseau compared Mandela to the prophets Isaiah and John the Baptist, calling him moonlight in the dark night. In Pretoria, Dutch Reformed Church pastor Nicky Lamprecht said Mandela changed attitudes in his overwhelmingly white denomination. A massive memorial for Mandela will be held in Johannesburg Tuesday. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thank you for joining us for Faith and Family. Today's program is pre-recorded, so the listener lines will not be open. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, November 19th, and we are gearing up for the holidays. And by holidays, not just Christmas. We're talking about the seasons of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and all the festivals that come in there as well. Today, we're talking with Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary, Kevin Hildebrand, and also joining me in studio, Ron Clem from Classic 99. This is a fun day in the studio.
It is, because music makes it that way, doesn't it?
It does. Kevin, you have chosen some great selections, and I know Ron has some good stuff lined up here just to help us celebrate the season, to observe the seasons, and I don't get to do music every day in Faith and Family, so this is fun.
Good.
So, Ron, what do you have lined up for us?
Well, as long as Kevin promises to set me straight and jump in at any time and add anything he wants, then I'm going to just kind of introduce you to a little bit of the classics. Remember that classic99.com streams the great classical music 24/7, so it's an alternative for you if you want to hear some great music. And on Thanksgiving Day, all day long, we're going to feature the music of Thanksgiving.
And we don't always think about that.
We
there's
don't.
Music for Thanksgiving.
No, we don't. And there's so much great music that was written for Thanksgiving or that is appropriate for that type of celebration. I remember when Thanksgiving was a really big day as far as church was concerned. Now we're finding that I'm too busy preparing the turkey or whatever it is, and it's not quite as much. But and that's too bad because that's where I think our celebrations should begin. Well, I just wanted to bring a couple of composers to the attention of our listeners and our whole families, because I remember as a young kid listening to music on my grandfather's house and listening to the great classics, and he introduced me to them, and look what happened. How terrible is that?
On the 78s, right?
Yes, thank you very much, Andy. Yes.
You young whippersnappers.
Felix Mendelssohn is one of my absolute favorite composers. He was born 60 years or so after Bach's death. And that's important because he comes at after a generation or two have pretty much forgotten about Bach, or at least put him in the background. He was born into a prominent Jewish family in northern Germany, moved to Berlin later. His father was a banker, and their whole family, converted to Christianity. Now, Felix was a child prodigy, but so was his sister Fanny. So if you hear music by Mendelssohn, always ask which one. Because Fanny, the sister, was because of the plight of women at that time, she just didn't get a chance to be as prominent in a role as a musician as Felix did. But Felix was clearly a magnificent pianist and musician, and he became fascinated early on with the Bible and with the great stories of the Bible. We owe Felix Mendelssohn a tremendous debt of gratitude for some of the greatest music that was modeled after Johann Sebastian Bach. Remember, Bach wrote all the great passions of St. Matthew and St. all these, and a cantata every week, on a biblical narrative. Mendelssohn looked at that and went, whoa, this is great. And he took it into a new generation and made these massive oratorios, one on the life of St. Paul. He died without finishing one on the life of Christ. And I think probably the most familiar one is the one on the great Old Testament figure, Elijah. Now, there's all sorts of great choruses in Elijah, and I could have selected any number of them. But I grabbed one that comes right after this whole scene in Elijah's life, where Mendelssohn takes this story from Kings and Chronicles about the drought in the land as a result of the people's sin. And he goes to the mountaintop to pray and to plead with God, please forgive the people's sin and hear their cry and hearken unto them. And his servant, who is a boy, a youth, played by a boy soprano, he asks him, go to the edge and look on the horizon and see if the rain is coming. And he comes back, nope, sorry. This happens like 3 or 4 times. And then finally, and listen for the horns, because when you hear the horns, you know God is listening. and then all of a sudden, things are about to happen. It's a dramatic moment.
Thank you.
Now I know why there's so much extra space in the Classic 99 studio, because Ron Clem is always conducting while listening to the music.
Oh, yes, you got to have lots of room to do that. That was the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, led by Robert Shaw, with baritone Thomas Hampson, who I'm sure sings almost as good as Kevin Hildebrand.
Ach du lieber.
It's just stirring, isn't it? Exciting.
It's a great conclusion to that part of the oratorio.
Part one, you know, right.
You mentioned a Mendelssohn sort of looking to Bach's example. In fact, we owe Mendelssohn a great deal of thanks himself, because it was Mendelssohn who sort of revived the performance of Bach's music, which had fallen into obscurity following Bach's death.
Exactly,
and it
right.
was Mendelssohn who brought this back and famously conducted a performance of the St. Matthew Passion in the 1820s to sort of bring Bach's music back to listeners.
In his hometown of Leipzig.
Right.
Where, I mean, you know, there he was, famous in his hometown, you would think. And it took someone like Mendelssohn, who came from another town, to come in there and say, hey, your favorite son is great, and brought him back into and of course, as you say, we owe Mendelssohn a great deal because now we celebrate them both. And
absolutely,
their tremendous music.
And what great messages for families,
yes,
to teach their children to use this music, to know the history behind it, and to learn the history of it, and then right, pass it on to
thanks
the next
be to God. Why? Well, because he hears our prayer, and because of all the great blessings that he gives us, including the rain in Elijah and always. So yes, that's it's perfect for whole families. As I said, I learned it as a young person, and there's no age too early to hear the great classics.
Absolutely.
Including Bach.
Bach. Which is that up next? Yes. Yes.
I love the early times of the season of Advent because I always think about the Song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. When she finds out she is going to give birth, mm-hmm, to the Son of God. And what does she do? She sings. And it's just so exciting. And I can't even read it in Luke chapter 1 without thinking of the great settings of the Magnificat. And there's some wonderful ones, but none as great as Johann Sebastian Bach's. And so we just have to hear that opening chorus. My soul magnifies the Lord.
Thank you.
Nothing like Bach to...
Powerful stuff.
To really get you going.
Oh, my goodness. And it's just constant motion in that that setting of the Magnificat, and it goes on, of course, but it's just wonderful music.
For our listeners who are just now joining us, Classic 99 has not taken over Faith and Family.
I thought we did.
Oh, well, yeah, part of the show.
Well, we just, I hope you can tell, we're passionate about great music, and that's what we do on classic99.com, which is a ministry of KFUO, and so you can listen to it 24/7. But we wanted to share some of the great music that whole families can enjoy as we begin to think about this great season. For me, seasons really are not necessary when talking about Handel's Messiah, because Messiah was written by George Frederick Handel for Easter. Now, people think of it as a Christmas piece.
Right.
Sorry, we have some lovely parting gifts for you, but you would be incorrect. It was written for the season of Lent and Easter. That's when it was first performed in those seasons. And if you look at the whole volume of texts, you see that this is the history of redemption from beginning to end.
Right.
And it's a magnificent outlay of biblical texts. And the early part of Messiah talks about the prophecy of the Savior to come. And that is certainly appropriate as we begin to think about Advent. So I would suggest that whole families enjoy Messiah at any time, but certainly at this time of year. The oratorio, and Handel was a genius at setting these great biblical texts, as you know. But the oratorio begins with the tenor soloist, who is the prophet, and from the words from Isaiah, and then the chorus takes over with the great chorus, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm in the mood.
Are you? Good for you. That's why I came.
You can't sing that without moving.
No. That's that incredible rhythmic drive that Handel adds to that. And I can just imagine that first performance in 1742, and people were shocked. It's just an awesome piece, and it's, like I said, suitable for any time of the year.
Absolutely. Kevin, your thoughts on Handel?
Well, I was going to point out the fact that the texts are exclusively biblical, and whether it's texts from Messiah or other settings, how music helps us remember and learn Bible texts, and whether it's an elaborate setting like this that we may sing as college students or adults, or simple settings that the children are singing in Sunday school or at home, those are things that help proclaim God's word, and the music makes it all the much more memorable and helpful for us to learn and take to heart, as the Collect says.
What a great gift music is. Martin Luther called it one of the greatest gifts of all. And how true that is.
Next to theology.
There you go. Well, right up there.
when he says next to theology, we shouldn't necessarily interpret that as like second place, as next in line.
But I'm
like
with you,
side
Kevin.
By side.
Right, exactly. Right there, side by side.
Well, it's when you take the scriptures and sing them, It's something that you can take with you so easily when it's set to melody. As you pointed out earlier, Ron, you can't read the Magnificat without singing it.
Right.
There's so many parts of the liturgy that are like that for me as well. I know Rod and I, during his time, were reading the psalm the other day, and I couldn't help but sing it in my head as I was trying to read it, just because it's an important part of the liturgy.
It becomes part of your DNA then.
Absolutely. Well, we have been talking with Kevin Hildebrandt, Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Kevin.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
And Ron Clem, thanks for stepping out of the Classic 99 studios to join us today.
If you have a pole with a long hook on it, you can just grab me anytime.
Excellent.